As Brother Billy said, the signs, this is what he indicated by what he said, the signs really, clearly, indicate that the coming of the Lord Jesus is very, very close indeed. Now, on Wednesday night, I was mentioning that it seems to me that as I listen to Bible teachers, prophetic teachers, especially coming from the States, and I listen every day, including Sunday, to WLBJ, Palm Beach, Florida, and quite often they have these prophetic teachers, and it seems to me that almost everyone who talks about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is talking with a deeper, a stronger, a more convincing tone of voice. I listened, I thought, yes, this is strange, this is true. At first I thought I was imagining it, but no, I was sure, because everything happening today, again, may I use the word, indicates that the Lord Jesus is coming back in our lifetime. Isn't it wonderful, as Brother Billy said, that you and I are privileged to be here living in the last days of the last days? Again, I heard someone say that the other day, Wednesday morning, I think, Tuesday morning, last week. We're living in the last days of the last days of this age. And these are the very days to which the Lord Jesus looked. Now, for those of you who weren't here, some of our friends, some of our brothers and sisters are here this morning, and they've been away. And we've been talking about the scriptures in the New Testament, the important scriptures that deal with the second coming. Very quickly, let me mention them again. I call these scriptures, various chapters in the New Testament, I call them a bird's eye view of the second coming of the Lord Jesus. Chapter 24 of Matthew, chapter 13 of Mark, chapter 21 of Luke, they give us the conditions of the second coming, those conditions we see today and which the Lord Jesus prophesied would occur just before the rapture, just before he returned to the church. And then I said, turn over very quickly in your mind to John chapter 14, and right over that portion, remember the Lord Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled, you believe in God, believe also in me, in my Father's house are many mansions, many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And I said, now right over that portion, the word comfort, let not your heart be troubled. Then, again, very quickly, turn over to Acts chapter 1. The Lord Jesus has suspended the law of gravitation. He's rising now into the cloud, the Shekinah cloud. And the two angels, we believe they were angels, men in white, they're called. They said in unison, they each knew what the other was saying, or about to say. They are saying, ye men of Galilee, for I stand ye gazing into heaven. This same Jesus, whom ye seen go into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go. And I said, now right over that portion, the word character, the character is coming. Silently, swiftly, secretly. The first part of the second coming. And then, of course, Revelation 1 says, every eye shall see him. That is when we come back, the church comes back with the Lord Jesus after the 7 years of tribulation. Then, again, very quickly, over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and behold, one of the 13 mysteries in the Bible, behold, I show you a mystery, and something that a mystery in the Bible, may I repeat, is not mysterious. It's something that God reveals in his own time to those who are willing to listen, and those, of course, are his people, and those who are reading, studying the Word of God and meditating upon it. And God reveals his secrets to those people
who are prepared to seek the face of God. So over that portion I said, write the word change. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump, we shall be changed. Changed. So there's the word change. Then over to chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Note the word shall, again and again and again, the word shall. This speaks of certainty, of course. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's a certainty. Then finally, we have the consummation, that's the word for the last chapter, where three times the Lord Jesus is talking about his second coming. Three times he mentions his coming. Now, here we are this morning, dear friends, and there's one verse that comes to me, and I want to say it to you, and leave it with you, because this, in a sense, is one of the most important verses, verse 22 of chapter 24 of Matthew, 22. And it's one of the most important statements that the Lord Jesus gave in that long, long discourse in relation to his return, 1900, nearly 2,000 years after. And again, may I say, beloved, you and I are here in these very last days, last hours, maybe last moments. But maybe, I don't know. The leadership of the church, they don't know. You know. And the Holy Spirit knows. The Lord knoweth them that are his, says the Bible. But there may be some here this morning and you are not saved. You are not prepared for the second coming of the Lord Jesus. And this statement, in a sense, is related to you because it talks about the great tribulation. And after the Lord was talking about the things that were going to happen, he said, then shall there be a great tribulation such as never was since the beginning of the world, nor never shall be. So you see, if the Lord were to come today, you will enter into that, although, of course, strictly speaking, it's a time of Jacob's trouble. Yet it's going to be a time of tribulation that will cover the whole globe and every nation and every single person, because everyone who's not a Christian will have to come under the power, the control, the domination of Antichrist. And that will mean, as we shall see, not this morning, but we're going to see maybe tonight or Wednesday night, what it means to have the mark of the beast. I discover that there are three types of people in the church today, and these types of people, each type has a different attitude in relation to the second coming. The first type, the first group, and I was in this group for many, many years until recently. In this first group, their attitude to the second coming is, well, possibly, there are still many who are saying, possibly the Lord Jesus is coming near, coming soon. But, well, no, maybe he's not going to come for another 25, 50 years. I can't see that. Because the Lord Jesus said, when you see these things come to pass, and they're coming to pass, before our very eyes today, when you see these things come to pass, look up. For your redemption draweth nigh. And in that same context he said, except those days be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved. Nuclear power, nuclear weapons, in the possession of so many nations of the world today, could destroy. This comes not from a prophetic teacher, but this comes from the men of the world, the politicians of the world, the nuclear power, the nuclear weapons that we have in the world today, possessed by the nations who possess them, could destroy our civilization 20 times over. 5 billion people here on planet Earth. So that means at least 100 billion people could be destroyed because of the nuclear power that the nations possess today. And yet people say, well, possibly the Lord's going to come within the next, perhaps 20 years, 25 times. Well, no. How can it be? Because we see so many things happening. The red heifer, for instance, that we talked about last week, we're going to mention that again sometime. And they're almost on the verge of discovering, it seems, the ashes of the last red heifer over there in a cave. It has two entrances, and they're digging, and the man by the name of Jones, he's a Welshman, he's in charge. I think he's a Welshman, he can't be anything else with a name like Jones, and he's in charge of it, and it seems that very, very soon they're going to find the ashes of the red heifer. And when that happens, then the nation is going to be purified by the scattering of the ashes and the next red heifer, which they have today. And for 1.5 years, they've been looking at it, and it has to be absolutely without blemish. There can't be one hair that's not red. If it's white or black, then the red heifer is disqualified. It has to be a red heifer, and every hair, probably thousands, tens of thousands of red hairs on the heifer, everyone has to be red. And that's very important in relation to the second coming of the Lord Jesus, as we shall probably see another time. Now, there's a second group. Now, the second group, and I was among that group until recently, the second group are not the possibles, they are the probables. They are the probables. And they say today, you know, and they could be right in a sense, I suppose, as we shall see. But the probables are saying, well, probably the Lord Jesus is coming back within the next 10, 15 years. And, again, I must admit, they could be right. We're not for sure. But I'm approaching the certains. And many others are. Many other prophetic teachers. Oh, they're not saying, of course, I'm sure, absolutely sure, 100% sure, absolutely sure, that Jesus is coming back before the year 2000. But again and again, this note of certainty, it's almost a note of absolute certainty that the Lord is coming before the year 2000 or before the year 2005. There's a difference, of course, in our calendar, which seems to suggest by some prophetic teachers that the year 2000, as we reckon it, is not really the year 2000. And in which case, the coming of the Lord may be nearer than we expect. And that's why I'm almost in the certain. Because the Lord Jesus encouraged his followers, encouraged you and me, living in these very last days, to not look for the signs per se, but look at the signs. We're to look for the glorious appearing of the great God, looking for that blessed hope. Remember Titus chapter 2 and verse 13, we dealt with it last Sunday evening, looking for that blessed hope, it's a beatitude related to the second coming, and it's a hope, it's a heavenly hope, it's our only hope for these last days, it's a personal hope, it's an eternal hope, right down to the years, right beyond time. The coming of the Lord was known, God knew everything that was known in relation to the Lord Jesus, his death and resurrection, that's come to pass. And by the same token, all the Old Testament prophecies, over 300 of them, someone has said, 333. Every single prophecy in the Old Testament, in relation to the first coming of the Lord Jesus, has been literally fulfilled. And many, many prophecies, in relation to his coming, are being fulfilled before our very eyes today. The mark of the beast, it's almost here. World government, they're talking about it now. a world church, a worldwide religious organization, not the church, the body of Christ. The church, the body of Christ, will have left planet Earth at the rapture. So this is why I'm almost certain, almost in that third category, with many, many others, saying the language of our hearts is, even so, come, Lord Jesus. He's right at the door. His coming is imminent. And you, my dear friend, are going to be left behind. Now forgive me for saying this. I have to give an account of the judgment seat of Christ for every message that I've given here in dear old Shirley Heights. Every single message, and so is every other preacher. And I have to stand before the judgment bar. Oh, it'll be a judgment for service, not for sin. We're going to deal with that sometime. We need not be afraid, dear Christian brother, sister. We need have no fear about the judgment seat of Christ. Our sin was dealt with at Calvary. At the judgment seat of Christ, he's going to deal with our service. And then the rewards will be given. Then the marriage supper of the Lamb. Again, we're hoping to talk about that. But in these closing days, it must be very, very near to indeed. Almost certainly, without saying dogmatically, Jesus is coming before the year 2000. We dare say that. No man knows the day nor the hour. But what I'm trying to say is this, and the Lord Jesus supported what I'm saying now, when you see these things come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. And in another place he said, when you see these things, it is near. But the Greek word really is, he is near. And he's talking about himself. So I'm looking into the faces of people here this morning who may be left behind if the Lord were to come today. And he could come today. This could be the very last Sunday here on planet Earth. Now, when we look into these wonderful promises, don't forget, dear ones, that the Lord Jesus made a number of promises right here in the Gospels. For instance, he said, I will build my church, and he'd been doing that for 2,000 years. The preacher hadn't been doing it, Billy Graham hadn't been doing it, and he'd be the very first to say so. Billy Graham has been the instrument through which hundreds of thousands of men and women have come to Christ. And what a great reward that dear man of God is going to have. One of the most humble servants of God, I believe, who has ever been raised up to God. I believe, dear ones, and I said this, I think I've told some of my friends here, I believe that Billy Graham is the forerunner to the second coming of the Lord Jesus. And I remember years ago, 1954, I believe it was, I went up with a big crowd, several hundred people from Cardiff on a train, most of us from the assembly. We took a number of unsaved friends. My dear mother-in-law came with us, and Elsie's mum. And I said to, when we came home, my dear cousin was living next door. He was the leader of our assembly. And I said to him, well, you know, I believe this dear man is the forerunner. This is 1954. I believe he's the forerunner to the second coming of the Lord Jesus. Just as John the Baptist was the forerunner to the first coming, Billy Graham is the forerunner to the second coming. And I said there are 11 letters in his name. Billy Graham, 11 letters. John Baptist, 11 letters. Well, I don't know whether there's any significance about that. But here in 1997, I have not changed my conviction. He's a sick man, of course, as you know, and pray for him. Pray for Billy Graham. Great servant of God. Now, you see, The Lord Jesus said, I will build my church. And he's still doing it. Not only through Billy Graham, through his servants all over the world today, and today in these lovely islands of the Bahamas, souls are going to be saved. We're praying that someone might get saved this morning here. Someone who is not a Christian, someone's not ready for the rapture, someone's going to be left behind for the awful rule of the Antichrist and have a name in his or her forehead or right hand. And they're doing that today, by the way. They're doing that. They're putting the chips in America. They're doing it. Doing it over in Britain. In dogs and human beings. They've tried it on prisoners in prison in Great Britain. And they're starting to do that. And you see, dear one, I want to emphasize with all my heart. I'm trying to get away, really, relating to my brothers and sisters in this meeting, because they're all right. They're saved by the grace of God. We are saved. I'm saved by the grace of God. Nothing to do with us at all. It's all of grace, sovereign grace. But you are going to be left behind, beloved, on the authority of this book. And forgive me. Oh, forgive me. Forgive me if there's one note, one harsh note in my demeanor. I say it because the love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Spirit of God. That love that you might receive the Lord Jesus and be caught up together with us and with our loved ones who've gone on before. If you trust Christ this morning, you can put your head on your pillow tonight and know that you're going if the Lord Jesus does come. Now, I said that right from my heart because I really, as a servant of God and any other true servant of God, knowing the nearness of the second coming of the Lord Jesus, would say it just as passionately. I trust I've said it in love. Oh, may God convict your dear heart this morning. And if you're not a Christian, may you be shaken out of your apathy and come and find the Lord Jesus as your Savior and be ready when he comes. And say with the Christian, even so, come Lord Jesus. Now, the Lord Jesus, he prophesied, if you like. He promised that he would build his church. He promised that he would send the Holy Spirit. Chapter 16 of John's Gospel. And he said he would send another comforter. He said, I'm not going to leave you comforters. I'm not going to leave you orphans. This is why they were troubled. Because they were going to lose, they thought. They were going to lose the physical presence of the man who was God. The man who was God. One of our brethren used that expression this morning. Or the God-man, I think he said. And having God living with you, and you living with God for 3 to 3.5 years, was heaven to them. All their needs were met. That same person had met the need, I said it Wednesday, I think, pardon my saying it again, that same person went with them down through those 40 years as they journeyed through the wilderness toward the promised land. Christ followed them. That rock which followed them was Christ. He literally followed them. It was the living Christ, the God of Israel, the ruler in Israel, as the prophet says, Thou Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the children of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me he that is ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, even from everlasting to everlasting. So he promised to build the church, he's doing it. He promised to send the Holy Spirit of God. And, also he promised, remember, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Chapter 11 of Hebrews. But before he went back to heaven, he spoke to the apostles, who were the nucleus of the church, and he told them to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He said, all authority, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye into all the world, teach all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and lo. And whenever the Lord Jesus said, lo, or behold, something even more important is coming. Because if he hadn't said what he was about to say, then, in a sense, what he had just said in the Great Commission would not have been complete. He said, lo, I am with you. And he might have said, but we proved it, have we not? You, dear brother or sister, going through times of difficulty, sickness, problems in the home with the family, business problems, other kinds of problems, you know that He is with you, and the promise is true. And He says, I will never, in all the changing circumstances of life, with all the problems that you'll have to face, and He might have said, you're not going to be exempt from them because you belong to me, and because you're in the church, you're not going to be exempt. Some of the most wonderful Christians I've met in my travels in different countries, some of those dear saints of God suffered incomparable suffering, problems spiritually, mentally, physically. One wondered, some of their loved ones wonder, or have wondered, why? Great big question mark. But we know the reason why, and we'll see the meaning of our tears. Some of the greatest men and women of God have passed through great tribulation. Even some are coming through that great tribulation, who will not receive the mark of the beast, and they're going to stand at the throne of God. Very clear. 144,000 converted Jews, witnesses, not in the church is gone, but the gospel of the kingdom is going to be preached, and the coming kingdom. That's why then the Lord's Prayer, as we call it, it's the disciples' prayer, of course, the Lord's Prayer is chapter 17 of John. That's why then the Lord's Prayer will become relevant. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We have an application today, but then, literally, it will be related in that time of tribulation to the coming kingdom, when the Lord Jesus will come, as Zechariah the prophet tells us, and His people stand again upon that Mount of Olives, and we shall be with Him, the church will be with Him. Every saint of God from every country, whatever the color of the skin, whatever the creed, if that person or person is saved, born again, we'll all be there, and we'll stand with Him. Or with Him in the air, and His feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, and they shall look on Me whom they pierced. Now, when we come to this 24th chapter, and again, chapter 13 of Luke's Gospel, Mark's Gospel, and chapter 21 of Luke, we discover the Lord Jesus made a number of prophecies. And again, I want to say, He was the greatest prophet of all time. A prophet like unto Me, said Moses, shall God raise up. And here's the greatest prophet. I perceive, said the woman at the well, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Now she'd had five husbands. And the one she was living with then was not her husband. That was the sixth. And as she listened to this man, I believe she thought, the seventh man, of course, this is the man. This is the perfect man. He was, too. The seventh man in her life. But the man who made the difference. All the difference in her life. She went back to the city and said, come see a man who told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? But she thought he was a prophet. She said, thou art a Jew. Why do you ask me water, being a Jew? Then she thought he was a prophet. Then she realized that he was the Messiah. Is not this the Messiah? What's the measure of your revelation, dear friend, in relation to Christ? Do you say, do you believe, of course you do, that he was a good man, that he was a sinful man, sinless man, that he was without sin, that he came to be the Savior of the world, that he died, that he rose again, that he's coming again, you might even believe that, but you still could not be saved, you may not be saved, if there's not come that moment of trust. You could have a sort of mental assent to every single truth in the Bible, and still go to a lost eternity. There has to be that relationship. That coming by simple faith and making the Lord Jesus the object of your faith and saying, Lord Jesus, you died for me as if I were the only person for whom you died on that cross of Calvary. Come into my heart, come into my life and be my Savior. And it's not of works lest any man should boast. By grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works lest any man should boast. Now, He not only promised the church, build the church, the coming of the Holy Spirit, His presence with Him. He said, there'll be wars and rumors of wars. Here's the prophet speaking. the great prophet, the greatest prophet of all time. He said there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. And there have been more wars this century than many, many centuries previously. Kingdom rising against kingdom. And that's an ethnic, may I say it again, I said it last Sunday, that's an ethnic situation. A kingdom within a kingdom rising against the other part of the kingdom. And you see that in Bosnia today. Then he talks about men's hearts failing of fear because of the things that are coming upon the world. And politicians, I believe more than any other class of people today, although they hide it for the sake of the people, they are men and women with a fear in their hearts. They know what's happening in the heavens. They know that these unidentified flying objects are real. They're real. Jimmy Carter has seen one. 6,000 sightings in America alone. And even if we were to say 4,000 of them are not real, and they saw something else, the government of the United States has said that many of these people who have been interviewed by FBI agents and other government people, they said, now these people have really seen something. This is what they're saying. We don't know what it is, but they have to admit that they have seen something, that they're genuine, they're not making it up. They're demon spirits. And may I say it again, if the Lord were to come today, tomorrow the Antichrist would get on the internet and worldwide television through satellite, and he would have to tell the world what he wanted them to believe. He would know what had happened. But he would open his books or documents and he would say, now look here, here's one document. This comes from the United States of America, and they have known, the government have known for years, that these things exist. And then here is the British government, here's the Chinese government, and you go through all the governments of Russians, and you go through the many, many documents that have come from various world governments, and you'll prove to the satisfaction of the majority of people that these people have been looking upon the inhabitants of this earth of ours, and they've been looking for good people. He'll admit they're good. He'll admit they're religious. But they want to inhabit at least another planet in their system, somewhere there out in space, and they've whisked them away. Remember what happened at Heaven Gate? Remember? 39 people. They committed suicide. Why did they commit suicide? Because they believed that they were going to be transported. You've seen that film, Star Trek, and the minds of young people from years and years ago, and I remember seeing it many years ago, the minds of young people are being conditioned to watching things happening in space, miracles in space, and they find it easy to accept that out there, there are these beings, not earthly beings, of course, but demon spirits. They wouldn't believe that. They wouldn't know that. And the Antichrist is going to say, these people have been taken away. Just as though those dear, benighted, deceived people at Heaven Gate thought that they were going to be taken up, transported. You've seen them being transported up on that space vessel, if you've ever watched Star Trek or these other things. Suddenly you see them there, and something happens, and they're whisked away. They're dematerialized. Now, says Antichrist, this is what's going to happen. And the writer Paul is saying to the church of Thessalonica, they're going to be deceived. There's a great delusion. And they're going to believe the lie. And the lie, I think, I suggest to you, will be just precisely what I'm telling you now. The devil will have to have a valid argument. He'll have to give some reason why millions of people have disappeared. And I don't know whether you know this, but some of the large printers in the world have what they called, and they call it still, the second coming type. It's the largest type that they have. The very largest type. And probably in the newspapers, And your newspapers here, they come out. The editors aren't Christians. And those who work on the newspapers are not Christians. And, or if they can find enough people to print the papers, and the great newspapers in America and Britain and throughout the earth, these important newspapers will have their biggest print. And they're in great glaring headlines. Is this, or something similar, is this the rapture? Is this the rapture? You see, Jesus will have come. And the promises will have been fulfilled. Wars, rumors, wars. Kingdom against kingdom. Famines. Millions of people. Can you take it in? Millions of people. Africa. China. India. Millions this century. Millions! Dying of starvation. And millions more still, almost dying of starvation. Pestilences. AIDS. Incurable. And we're in the time, by the way, of Sodom and Gomorrah. This is a Sodom and Gomorrah age, and there they are over in America. They have their days, their gay days, and they're parading, some of them naked. Naked. And the Lord Jesus said, those are the very days when I'm coming back, as it was in the days of Lot, as it was in the days of Noah, eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, going through the motions, and aware that the danger, the awful judgment, and the dangers of the tribulation period are fast approaching, right there upon their heels. There they are, acting without God and without any hope, blatantly showing what they really are. What an abomination to the Lord these people are. Pray for them. I pray for these people. And I have to turn everything comes on the radio, on the television, and I just have to turn them off. It makes me sick. Sometimes I preach in various assemblies. And for some reason, once or twice, they haven't invited me back. And then I've heard afterward, you'll never believe this, and I won't tell you what part of the world it is. I've heard after that some people there in that assembly, They disagreed with what I've said when I've hit out against this abomination, this awful abomination, homosexuality. And it's that's precisely what Paul called it in Romans chapter 1. Pestilences. Earthquakes. And they're repeated, and they're going on, and they're going on, and they're repeating. Well, I must finish. I hope you'll come tonight. Just an hour. 6 o'clock till 7. Still daylight, and in any case, even when it's dark, I tell the people, certainly down there in Green Turtle Key and other assemblies, just simply trust the Lord. Come, and God will bless you. Shall we pray? Oh Lord, you've heard this message this morning. If there does happen to be someone here who's not a Christian, gracious living Lord, by your Spirit, follow that person. Follow him or her. I have no hesitation, Lord, in asking you to give that dear heart no rest until he or she finds a Savior. Lord, I have a burden as your servant. It's not my burden, Lord. It's your burden by your Spirit upon my heart. And I hate to think that someone here this morning is going out of this meeting without the Lord Jesus. And if he were to come today, that person would be left behind for the awful days of tribulation. Lord, I shan't mention the names already mentioned, but you know everyone who needs our prayers, those who are sick, those who might be sick, those who mourn the loss of loved ones, those who are approaching the portal of death, God bless them. Those who are expecting an operation, God bless them. Part us with your blessing now. Bring us up tonight again if the Lord Jesus hasn't come. Bless your people. Bless everyone here, every family represented. And all your people everywhere. Can all the people say amen? Can all the people say amen? Thank you very much indeed. And if you can't say amen, and probably you can't if you're not a Christian, do stay behind. Come down, have a chat with me in this little room. Thank you. God bless you. And I hope you can make it out tonight.